to the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 8. Chapter 18, verse 8. And I want to give you, start this off with a little story here. There was an interview that was given to some prisoners of war survivors. Now, I've had that opportunity in my work to talk to some military personnel that was in World War II and that were prisoners of war. I had some that were in prisoners of war over in Okinawa, over in that area. And, you know, we got to talking, and I like this interview because it does express exactly what they went through. And in this interview, they were asked how they had survived in the worst places imaginable. Now, that is so true, because some of the things I've heard and seen, you know, when you see some of these movies, they predict it, but I'm sure it's even worse than the way they predict it in the movie theaters. But it is. You can't even imagine some of the things that they go through as a prisoner of war. One said, every day I woke up with the thought, today will be the day that we get rescued. Some said it was hope that kept them alive. But there were many of them said it was a faith in God that made the difference. A faith in God that made the difference. There's a movie that just came out, and I can't remember the name of the movie. Unbreakable. How many have seen that? Oh, my goodness. It was a great movie. It did show what one man went through and the forces of evil that hit him so hard as a prisoner of war. The captain of the camp tried to break him. Literally tried to break him down to the point where he died. But he didn't. It's called Unbreakable. And you know, there's a reason for that. And I love it because it was his faith in God that kept him alive. He would not let that guy break him. And I say that as a Christian today. Don't let Satan break you. He's going to come at you with every force that he can. He's going to do everything. It's almost like a prison camp, you know. And you are not a prisoner to Satan. You are not a prisoner to this world. You are aliens to this world. That means that being an alien and a pilgrim, that you're only here for a time period. And your home is not here. Your home is in heaven. And when you finally leave this world and this earth, whether it be by death or by resurrection, and I know our Lord's coming soon, so it could be by resurrection, he's going to take you home. You're going to live there forever and ever and ever. It is nothing like what you expressed here. Here is you're subject to so many different things. So many different things can come against you as Christians. So many things can come against you in this world that you live in that's not a free world. And I'm telling you this morning, keep the faith. Keep the faith. No matter what you go through, keep the faith. No matter whoever comes against you, keep the faith. No matter what your finances are, keep the faith. No matter what your physical condition is, keep the faith. Because you will be approached. You will be hit by different various things. And you've got to learn to keep the faith no matter what you are going through. In these last days, many will fall away. The love of many will wax cold. And that is so true, and that's scriptural. And if you read in this scripture in Matthew, in Luke 18, verses 8, it says, and I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith? Faith on the earth. When the Son of Man comes back, will he find faith? And that's the big question of today, because there's too many things going on in our world today that doesn't require faith, okay? Too many people are falling away because they're not looking to the faith in God, but they're looking to their own faith or their own abilities, their own ways. And I say we need to learn to look upon God. Look upon God. Our verse this morning gives us a picture of when Jesus is returning. He says, when I come back, will I find faith? The question is, will Christ find faith on the earth when he returns? Since people are losing faith, the important question is, how do we keep faith in a faithless generation? That's a big question. And that's a question I think Christians should be asking all the time. Will, and how do I maintain this faith? How do I? This is an amazing verse. It seems to say that at the return of Christ, the biggest crisis in the world is going to be a faith crisis. And I do believe that. Today, let's encourage each other to keep the faith. Let's lift up those who are discouraged or those who have given up and help them keep the faith. Do you understand that you're the answer? Some have. And I know, look at our church today. You know, I can go back in the 8 years we've been on board here, and I can tell you of people that have come, people that have gone, people that have lost faith, people that no longer go to church. You know, they've given up. They've lost their hope. You know, all we can do is encourage them. I meet people every day that have been to our church in times past. I met someone 2 days ago when I was at AutoZone, and he was out racing cars. You know, does he have faith in God? No, but he has faith in his car. He was having to buy studs for it because he broke the studs on his car racing it. You know, but he was very congenial. He understood me. And he said, goodbye, Pastor, at the end. What is going wrong today? So many people in our world today are looking to pleasure. Things that will appease them. The pleasure of the world. You know, we got to stop that. How can someone keep faith in a world that is losing faith? How can they do it? Luke 17:5 says the disciples asked Jesus. They were perplexed. They understood that they didn't have as much faith as they needed. So they asked a very simple question to Jesus. Jesus, increase my faith. Increase my faith. These were the disciples. How you got to understand, these were 12 men that walked with Jesus, that talked with Jesus, that saw his miracles, saw what he did, was with him day and night, yet they understood their lack of faith. And they asked him, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Well, I think today we need to go to God more and more and ask for faith increase. We need to go to him and say, Lord, I lack it. I lack faith and I need you more. Never be satisfied where you are. Never be satisfied where you are. Ask God for more. If you become satisfied where you are, you become lukewarm. You become bored. And you'll lose out in the miracle that God has in store for you. Maybe it was just meant to be, but all of a sudden, you said, well, it's just not going to happen. I'm just satisfied. This is as good as... I've heard that saying. This is as good as it's going to get. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not going to be satisfied there. Okay? The scripture says about one of the churches, Church of the Laodicea, in Revelations, when he was talking about the seven churches and the seven lampstands. You know, these were seven angels that looked over the churches. Do you know that you have an angel looking over our church? Okay, and we have seven lampstands, and in that seven lampstands stands for the seven churches. And he talked about one church that I don't want to be a part of. I don't want to have nothing to do with it, in the church of the Laodicea. And Jesus was telling John at the time, he said, I want to talk to you about the church of the Laodicea. This church feels comfortable. They have it all. They have it all. They think they know it all. They don't have any need for nothing. They are lukewarm. And I would rather they be hot and on fire for me or cold and dead. But because they are lukewarm, that means they think they know it all. They think they have it all. They're comfortable where they're at. Here's the worst thing that could ever happen to a lukewarm Christian. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now that's a very explicit saying, but he was saying that for a purpose, to let the Christians of the Laodicean church know, get it together. Quit being lukewarm. Quit being satisfied with what you have. Too many times Christians get satisfied with what they have. This is as good as it's going to get. Well, I tell you, this is not as good as it's going to get. We've got a long ways to go before it'll be anywhere close to as good as it's going to get. And then I'll stir the thing up a little more, because I don't want to get as good as it's going to get. I'm always going to look for more. And I encourage you this morning to do the same. Always look for more. Never be satisfied where you are. Ask God for more. Elijah was not satisfied just following Elijah. You know? He wasn't just satisfied. He could have went off and, you know, in fact, even Elijah said, Elijah, it's okay. I'm going to be okay. You just go on. Elijah said, there is no way, Elijah, I'm going to do this. Where you go, I'm going. What you do, I'm going to do. Elijah said that to Elijah. What a way of having two different names so close together. Elijah said it to Elijah. I'm not going to. I'm going to follow you. Where you go, I'll go. What you do, I'll do. And even the Lord, even God said, it's okay, Elijah, go on. And Elijah said, no way. You know, there's a reason why I want to do this, God. I want to follow Elijah because I know the blessings you've put on him. I know the power you have put on Elijah. So I'm going to follow him because I want something more. He says, I want a double portion of his blessing that you've given him. See, I think that's where we need to be. We need to look at, there might be others that you say, wow, they are being blessed. They're being so blessed. You know, I want to kind of get next to them. See, I want that blessing to roll off on me, so I'll get a little closer. I may even shrug his shoulder a little bit. Woohoo! Maybe a little bit of that blessing will roll off on me. You know? Because I'm not going to be satisfied. When you get satisfied, you lose out. When you get satisfied, you kind of not see what God can do. The miracle that is in store for you is just around the corner. All you got to do is hold on. Elijah held on. And when Elijah went up into heaven, Elijah received a double portion of his blessing. Do you understand? That's exactly what I believe God wants to do to us. Because it said that Elijah asked for this, and it said when Elijah left, God granted Elijah the double portion. He granted it. See, that's what God wants to do. He wants you to be on fire for him. He wants you to move on. He wants you to do things. He wants you to seek him and ask of him. Ask of him more. If we need more faith, we should go to the Lord and ask for more faith. And I say this, you have not because, I'll say it again, you have not because you, okay? Let's take a look and give you just a non-spiritual aspect to this. Your job. You've been with your job for so long. You're ready for the raise. You're looking for the raise. I'll guarantee you, your employer's not looking. And your employer's very happy keeping you right where you are at the wages you are getting. You have not because you ask not. Okay? And sometimes you need to ask for that double portion. You know? Don't ask for a 5-cent raise. Ask for a dollar raise. You know? All he can say is, I'm sorry I can't do it now, but I will say that he'll probably give you some raise. Ask not, you receive not. Acts 6:5, first part of that says that they chose Stephen. Why? Because he was a man full of faith. But there was one extra part of that I like in that scripture. He was not only a man that was full of faith, but he was also a man that was full of the Holy Ghost. So he's full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be full of faith, be full of the Spirit. Let me say that again. If you want to have the fullness of the faith in God, then I believe that you need to start searching out for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Faith and God's Spirit go together. One of the gifts of the Spirit is faith. Did you know that? One of the fruits of the Spirit is faith. So you have the gift and a fruit, both faith. God says that you need that faith. And I will also go to the next step about faith. If you have faith, you will have action. See? Faith, action, faith, works go together. You can't have works without having faith. You can't believe him and taking a mountain and putting it into a molehill unless you have faith. And if you have faith, you will say to that mountain, be thee removed. And what does God say it will? So whatever your concern is, whatever your problem is, whatever you are going through, whatever the devil is throwing at you, you have the ability and the right to say, in the name of Jesus, get thee begone me. And you go, it will. It will. Because faith and action, faith and works to go together. You can't turn around and say you have faith without having the works. They move together, right? Okay. Let me read this one to you. Acts 14, verse 22. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It'll probably come up on the screen. Establishing and strengthening the souls and the hearts of the disciples, urging and warning and encouraging them to stand firm. Stand firm in the faith, telling them that it is through many hardships and tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God. See, what they're saying there, continue in faith. Don't stop growing. Never get content or satisfied. Always desire more of God. It's telling us and telling the disciples at that time and the people of that time that we are never to be just content of where we are, but we are always to be continuing to grow in God. If you don't grow and continue to grow in God and become satisfied, you will be of that church of the Laodicea. You will become lukewarm. And I ask this question, how many of you want to be vomited out of God's mouth? Raise your hand. No, don't raise your hand. I don't think any of us want that. If you've ever been sick and had a cold and you had heave to, you know exactly what it feels like. It's not good. It doesn't even taste good. So let's leave it alone. And let's don't get into that scenario at all. Romans 10:17 in the Amplified says, so faith comes by hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message that comes from the lips of Christ, the Messiah himself. So when you hear a message, it's not coming from this pastor, but it's coming through the anointing of God, from God himself, is laying these words down onto you. So what it's saying, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. And it's heard by the preaching of the word of God, by the lips of Christ himself. Stay in the word. Read the word daily. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only way to keep the faith is to stay in the word, standing on the promises of God. How many of you, there's a song that says, standing on the promises of God. How many of you have ever prayed for a promise from God? Okay. Do you stand on that? Do you know that God will answer? He will. But you have to understand it's his will, not our will. He answers in his will, not our will. Sometimes our questions or our promises to God are something that we want. And God loves even the things that we want. but it wants to always flow in His will, by His understanding. I could pray for a jet leader. Lord, give me that. You know, I need that desperately for my ministry. The problem is, if He gave it to me, what would I do with it? I couldn't drive it down the road. You know, I can't fly it because I don't know how to fly. So in turn, it would be worthless for me to ask for something of that caliber. Now, I can't ask, Lord, fill this church with people that want to worship You and praise You. That's an earnest promise. It's a prayer, and the promise is God said that if you will pray the prayer, the promise will be, I will answer the prayer. I do believe God's will is to have a church full of people praising Him, worshiping Him. Amen? I believe that. We just have to come up with a scenario, a way to encourage that and put that together, and it will take place. I believe it. Amen? Soul winners. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Stop looking at the circumstances, because when you start to look at the circumstances, it will tear you down. That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to look at the circumstances. He wants to knock your spirit down. He wants to take your promises away. He wants to take it so that you cannot believe in that faith that God has put into you. So quit looking at the things around you. If I look at our world and our things today, I could be so discouraged I'd want to quit. But I got to quit looking at circumstances and look to God. Stop listening to the report of the world. Oh my goodness. I mean, I do have to watch the news from time to time, but I avoid it as much as I possibly can. You know, maybe twice a week I'll listen to it just to kind of see what horror stories are being told on the news. If you want a good horror story, watch the 10 o'clock news. Boy, there isn't a night go by that there's 10 slayings, 10 people being killed, 20 this, that. I mean, it is full of negativity that we as Christians do not need. Sometimes I don't like to listen to the weather report because it's wrong. You know, predictions. You know, predictions. How many, about a few years back, there was a radio preacher that was predicting the coming of the Lord. May 21st, 2011 was the first prediction. That didn't go. Then he did it again. October, didn't go. He did it the third time. Well, the good Lord is, you know, luckily I believe in the Bible more than I believe in man, because Jesus Himself said, no man knows the return of the Lord. We are given signs, but we're not to know exact. And I don't believe we are to live abiding by just those signs and get so caught up in that we want to become the hermit and hide away because the world's so bad. Well, get out there and make it better. Because the Christians are the ones that are going to make it better. Amen? The Christians are the one that can go out there and tell the good news. It's your responsibility to tell the good news. Don't ask some sinner to do it. Don't ask some agnostic to do it. Don't ask some atheist to do it, because they'll turn around and give you the bad news. I get that every day from some of our people. And I'm always able to be able to turn it around and say, well, you know, time will tell. I got that example from my mother-in-law that told me that over and over. She drilled that in me. Time will tell, Jerry. Time will tell. You know? And she's so true. Time will tell. Understanding that our promises are yes and amen in the Lord. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were summoned and for which you confess the good confession of faith before many witnesses. So what's that telling us as Christians that we need to do? Fight the good fight of faith. Fight that fight of faith, because I'll guarantee you this world will not give you faith. This world will give you calamity. This world will give you so many things that are not of faith. So we are to take that in stride and fight the good fight of faith. You know, and then take on and talk about eternal life. Talk about, you know, if there's one thing about that prediction, one thing, it brought the interest back to the return of the Lord. It was wrong, but it made you think. Yeah, the news got it, the radio got it, the TV got it, all the mainstream media heard about it. So it brought back the excitement of the return of the Lord. And I believe, do you understand 2,000 years ago, the disciples talked about the return, the soon return of the Lord. Did you know that? They talked about the 2,000 years ago, they talked about the soon return of the Lord. So if they talked about the soon return of the Lord back then, what's stopping us today? I'm talking about the soon return of the Lord. If you understand, 2,000 years is just 2 days for God. 1,000 years is a day. So it's only been 2 days. The Lord's coming. It's only been a couple of days. Come on. 1,000 years is a day unto the Lord. So to God, it's only been a couple of days. Hey, it's going to happen. I'm going to come back. Don't worry. I'm coming back. You know, keep telling of that return. And the Bible tells us to encourage, it encourages us to preach on that, to witness. Just that scripture alone says, witness about it. You know, some might think you're crazy. Well, they thought Noah was crazy, didn't they? You know, as he prepared the ark, they thought he was a madman. You know, this big piece of wood sitting in the middle of the desert where there would never rain and never got water, all of a sudden they're saying, what in the world are you doing? Well, the last laugh, what is that word? Who has the last laugh has the best laugh or something. You know, I have to look at it that way. Fight the good fight of faith. Your walk in the Lord is a battle to be won, a fight to be fought, a race that must be run. Don't give up when you get knocked down. Get back up and fight some more. And I love Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 in the King James Version. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and was set down and has set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Do you understand what Jesus is telling us? Fight the good fight. Run the race. Jesus says that he ran the race. You know? And he enjoyed it. He said it with joy. Can you imagine? Joy being 40 stripes set across you. Joy taking that cross and going down, you know, bearing that cross to Gethsemane. Being nailed on the... Joy being nailed. How many of you have ever experienced that? None of you. To me, no. First time somebody says something bad about you, you're out there moaning and groaning, they hurt my feelings, you know? I just don't know, Lord. You know, I'm suffering for you, God. You should do this for me. Come on. Where's our joy? I say when you have tribulations, count it all joy when you go through them. Count it all joy when you go through things, when you go through temptations. Because do you know that you will? You will go through these things. But Jesus says, count it as the joy that I went through. I don't think any of us suffered the cross yet. Any of us now has not been nailed to the cross. None of us have had a spear put on our side and blood and water gushed out. None of us has bled out for God's sake. Jesus has. And he counted it joy. Why? Because he knew the outcome would be your salvation. He knew that. He did it because he knew the outcome. Come on. What's your outcome? Whatever you go through today, let's take a look at the outcome. What is your outcome? Eternal life. Heaven. Heaven. Walking on the streets of gold. opening the pearly gates, talking to the patriarchs of old of the great things they have done for God, talking to Jesus himself. Now, that right there should satisfy every tribulation you go through, every sadness that you go through, every temptation you go through. Count it all joy, because you know your outcome. Jesus knew his outcome. Do you know yours? Do you know yours? If you don't, my goodness, get to know it. We need to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Not man, not woman, not this world, not things of this world. Some may have their faith shaken, but look to Jesus. He will never let you down. Jude 1:3 says, to earnestly contend for the faith. The word contend means to strive and debate, dispute earnestly, to contend against falsehood. That means you have faith in God. Don't let the world take that from you, because they'll try. Don't let your friends or your neighbors or your enemies or anyone try to take it from you. Don't let the devil come to you and take it away, because he will. He will if you let him. Contend to your faith. Hold on to it. Debate your faith in God. Don't let no devil or falsehood take it away. Don't let someone change your faith. Don't follow some new doctrine just because it's so popular. It's such a popular thing to follow. There's a lot of new doctrines out there that are coming up left and right. I'd say watch out. Watch out. Hold fast. Stand strong for the faith in Jesus. And I leave you with this one, and it's found in Jude 1:20 and 21 in the Amplify. But you, beloved, build yourself up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Guard and keep yourselves in the love of God. Expect and patiently wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, which will bring you unto what? Say that a hot bigger. To what? Eternal life. I told you that you have an outcome. I told you the end will always give you the joy. If you will hold fast, stay strong, no matter what you go through, hold on to it. Because I guarantee you, if you will hold on to it, God has guaranteed you eternal life. He's guaranteed you more joy than you'll ever know. I can just semi-imagine. You know, if there's anything in that song, I can only imagine. Well, I can only imagine what it's going to be like when I take that first step in heaven. Oh, my goodness. Will I be so thrilled? Well, I'd just be glad. Look, I made it. I really did. I made it. And then I will be talking to you later on the five crowns. The five crowns that God has prepared for you and I as Christians. I'll do a series on that, you know, and talk to you about the five crowns. But at that point in time, when we're at the Bema Seat judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, is going to be a party time. It's going to be a glorious time. It's going to be a celebration. And it's when I see Jesus and these crowns that I possess, whatever, even if it's just one, I am promised one for sure, and that's this crown of salvation. So if that's the only one, I'm going to lay it at the feet of Jesus, because I made it. I made it. And you can too. You can too. All it takes is stay firm. Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Get stronger. Pray harder. Don't quit. Don't ever give up. I have decided to follow and to live for Jesus. I'll build my life on the strength of his word. I am committed to his purpose and his calling. I've made up my mind. I'm going to serve the Lord. How about you? How about you? Keep the faith. And I say this message because I can feel, and there's a lot going on today in this world. A lot going on in our own little church. You know, keep the faith. I don't know what God has in store for this church. Okay? All I know is he does have something in store. And if we lose faith, We'll walk out that door. We'll go somewhere else. That's what so many people do. They'll walk out the door and find another church that they can sit in. They can't keep the faith to know that God has something here. They don't have faith enough to believe that God has something here. God does have something in store for Adventure Assembly. But we've got to keep the faith. Keep on keeping on. No matter what. No matter if there's five people. Keep on keeping on. Because when the time finally comes, when God finally says, it's enough. Now let me show you. Let me show you what I can do for you. See, I want to be here when that happens. I want to be here when the doors open and hundreds throng in. Okay? People get filled with the Holy Spirit. People get healed of diseases. Do you know that's end time revival? It's happened in the past. I can give you stories of healings. I can give you stories of God. I'll give you just one, and I'm going to end with this. I'm with a lady and her family, and we gather around to pray for her, and she's transitioning. Some of you know what I'm talking about. When transition means that they are on their last leg of this life, okay? Their breathing is distorted, gurgling sometimes, shallow breath. Sometimes they'll breathe and then stop for a minute and then start back up, okay? They're transitioning. They're between this world and the next world. This lady loved the Lord. She was definitely born again. She definitely knew the Lord, but she had a family that she was so worried about that she was, for the death of her life, she was holding on to this family because she knew this family was struggling. So we prayed, and I talked to the family. I said, now, you're ready to release her. You're ready to release her. And they all agreed. She was suffered enough. It's time to release her and let her go home. I prayed, and my prayer was this, with my eyes closed and praying to heaven. I said, Lord, I know you love her, and I know she loves you. And Lord, I pray, oh God, that you come personally, come down to this earth, that you come and grab, let her see you. Grab her hand, oh Lord. Take her by her hand. And take her home with you to heaven. Well, as I was praying this prayer, the husband of the daughter opened his eyes and looked at Mama. Mama opened her eyes, not with a shocking fear, but with a smile on her face. Like she was gazing to heaven, she opened her eyes and went, and went to heaven. Now, she was the one that led that husband to the Lord at her death. At her resurrection to heaven, she led the husband that was a non-believer, couldn't really believe in God. You know, he said after that, if you can't believe in God, you're crazy. That was such a miracle, and I got to see it. And I believe in God more than anything now because I got to see her eyes. I got to see her go to heaven. I got to see her look to heaven. I got to see this. And I believe he was saved that day. And a month later, he died. At 47 years old with a massive heart attack. So do you understand? God can do miracles. God can do anything. We just got to be there for him. We just got to open up and keep the faith. Keep the faith and you'll see a miracle. Keep the faith and you'll see God do things that aren't even impossible. To the man, it's impossible. To God, it's possible. Keep the faith and we'll see this church packed. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Praise the Lord. Don't forget Thursday, prayer meeting. Don't forget that. Close your eyes. Would you come to the piano a second, please? this morning. I don't know. But this morning I feel there's some of you that are just hanging in there by a thread. And it can go either way with you. You could lose your faith in God because of circumstances. You could lose your faith in God because of what you're going through. Because of what you see. And I just feel that I need to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I want you to raise your hand if this is you. If you're struggling with your faith in God, and it could be anybody here, but I do feel there's someone that you're struggling. Yes, I see that hand. Yes. Anyone else? I see that hand. Anyone else? Lord, I know that you see the hands. I know that you see their hands. And I pray right now. Sometimes we do go through struggles. Sometimes our faith seems so weak that we feel we can't even make it the next day. But Lord, I thank you. Because Lord, your faith never wavered. Your strength never wavered. Your joy in us has never wavered. So I pray, Lord, that as we call on you, we ask, oh God, for more faith. More faith. I say it now. Come on, church. Increase our faith. Come on, say it again. Increase our faith. Increase our faith, O God, in you. Because it's only through you that all things are possible. Increase our faith. We might be down. We might be low. But God, you will lift us up. You've taken us from the miry clay and left us high and high and high. As an eagle understood flight. As that eagle understood that sometimes it's a little cloudy down below. Things get a little mucky down below. He understands that to take flight and go into the higher and higher and higher up. Lord, I believe that is us. As our faith seems mucky and it seems mucky. Lord, we can begin to soar into the heavens. We can do like the eagles and go to the heights that no man can go. No other bird can go, can fly in that height. God, that's where we can go. And you will strengthen our faith and give us joy unspeakable and full of glory in you. Lord, I pray for this week that that will happen. Though we're weak, you are strong. And I pray, God, that your strength will overshadow every one of us, O God. Increase our faith. Increase our faith. In the name of Jesus, help us this week. I pray you bring some soul, someone, Lord Jesus, that if we're down, O God, some Christian will come and lift us up. I pray, God, that if we're strong in you, you lead us to someone that needs you. That you lead us, oh God, that our faith can be rubbed off onto someone's faith that is weak and get stronger in you. I pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. Full teardown.